Well, if you would, take your copy of God's Word once again, open to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. If you're using our pew Bibles this morning, that can be found on page 944. Romans chapter 8, we'll be looking at the first four verses. Once you're there, I invite you to stand once again for the reading of God's holy and living word. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Father, we do pray that you would be our teacher and that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word tonight. Give us understanding and help us obey your word and keep it with our whole heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is Good Friday good? And after all, Good Friday celebrates and reflects on the suffering and death of Jesus. Why in the world would Christians call good a day that they saw their Lord and Savior experience horrific injustice at the hands of corrupt religious rulers and even put to death by Romans on a shameful and torturous device? And of course, looking at this at first glance, there appears to be nothing good about this day at all. And so why is it that we call this very day Good Friday? Well, I want us to consider how these verses that I just read in from Romans chapter 8 answer that very question. And so we're just going to dive right in and work through these four verses. And as we do, we're going to see four reasons that Good Friday is good. And the first reason is found in verse 1, and it's really the foundational reason that Good Friday is good. Good Friday is good because there is no condemnation. We see that in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This word condemnation is more than just the opposite of justification. It is penalty after the sentencing of the guilty. It is both condemnation, the sentencing, and the punishment. And so Good Friday is good. The cross is a good thing because through it we will no longer face condemnation. This is the good news. This is the best news. And it's good news because of the bad news. The bad news is that all of us are sinners. And so really here tonight, we all have one thing in common. And that one thing in common is that we really only deserve one thing. And that one thing that we all deserve is condemnation. We deserve punishment. We deserve judgment. In fact, the opening chapters of Romans declares this a universal condemnation on all of mankind. That's what we all deserve because of our sin. God is holy and pure, and He is going to judge all people, and He does not grade on a curve. And so outside of Christ, outside of Good Friday, we stand condemned because all people, every single person, is in one of two camps. They are either in Adam or they are in Christ. Romans 5:12, if you want to flip back a few pages, Romans 5:12, we see Paul lay out these two representatives, Adam and then the last Adam, or Adam and Christ. And the implication of what it means to be either in Adam or in Christ. And so Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, which was Adam in the garden, and death through sin, the wages of sin is death, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so this is the bad news. Because of sin, all die. Death spread because sin has spread. And if you go down to verse 14, we see that Adam is a type. He is a foreshadow of the one who was to come. Adam is a type of the last Adam. And verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. And so what we have an equation here, on one side of the equation, we have Adam. Everybody is born in Adam. We have inherited his sin. We have a sin nature, and we are sinful in our actions. And there you have sin and death and condemnation on one side of the equation. And he pointed forward to another. And so Adam pointed forward to the last Adam, to Christ. So on one side of the equation, you have sin and death and condemnation. And on the other side of the equation, you have life and righteousness. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is how, since we're all in Adam, how do we go from being in Adam to being in Christ? And the answer from Genesis to Revelation throughout all of Scripture is through faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You're maybe just confused about what Christianity is about. Here is the solution to that problem. What is the one thing that you need today? It is to trust in Jesus Christ. It is an acknowledgement that you say, yes, I am a sinner. And I acknowledge that I am headed towards condemnation on my very own. I am in Adam, and I need to be in Christ. The call of the gospel is to trust in Christ as King. To go from condemnation to righteousness. And for those in Christ, there is no condemnation. Our biggest problem has been taken care of because of what has happened on Good Friday. And this is why we sing the truths about for many centuries. In fact, Charles Wesley's hymn comes to mind as we sing, "No condemnations, now I dread. Jesus and in him is mine, alive in him my living head." So at first Adam was our head, he was our representative, but in Christ, Christ becomes our representative. "And clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." So no condemnation now we dread if we have trusted in Christ. Or perhaps the song "Man of Sorrows," which says, "What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full redemption can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior." No condemnation. Good Friday is good because it means no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The second reason that Good Friday is good is because we have been freed from the law. Look at verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." So the word "law" there, it's used, it can be kind of tricky in Scripture because it has several different meanings. And you have to look at the context. And this is true for us today, even in our own use of the way we use law. We use law for different ways. Sometimes we use the word law to refer to the written statute, whether it's a posted speed limit, which we all know is just suggestions, or it's a law against stealing. And other times we use the word law to refer to a recurring principle, like the law of gravity or the law of physics. And so there are three different types of laws that we find in these verses in Romans. We have the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. We have the law of sin. And then we have the law of the Spirit. The law of Moses is the written law. These are the commandments that God has given us to obey, the Ten Commandments especially. The law of sin and the law of Spirit are both laws of principle or power or force. And so the law of sin is the power of my sinful nature, which rebels against God's desires, against his written word. And I desire my sin more than I desire righteousness. The law of the Spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us when we trust in Christ. And therefore, we desire righteousness. We desire the things that please God more than we desire our sin, our own desires. And so Paul presents this double statement about the law to draw a contrast. He says that the law, the controlling power of the Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 9 says that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in your heart immediately and completely and permanently. And what is the work of the Holy Spirit in every believer? Paul says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is life-giving, life-changing, and life-filling. And the law, Paul says,
of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so that phrase there draws us back to the end of Romans 7, verses 24 and 25, where we see Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So this is not merely just the testimony of the Apostle Paul. This is the testimony of every believer in Christ. Verse 1 teaches there is no condemnation in those in Christ. Verse 2 teaches there is spiritual freedom for those in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law, the controlling power of sin and death. Sin corrupts and death consumes. It's bad enough to struggle with the law of sin and death, right? We struggle with that. It's even worse to be under the controlling power of sin and death. But in Christ, Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from this controlling power. And this does not mean, once again, that we no longer struggle with sin and death, but it does mean that sin and death have no victory over the believer. The Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. So, but why do we need this Spirit of life? Why do we need this law of the Spirit? Well, we find this in verse 3. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." So Paul is now again changing the way he is using the term law. Here he is referring to the law of Moses. And he is again drawing a contrast that declares that God has done what the law could not do. Verse 1 and 2, "The law cannot save us from condemnation. The law cannot set us free from the controlling power of sin and death." Romans chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 say, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead." So the law can teach us the commands of God. The law can show us how we should live. It can expose us when we have missed the mark, but it cannot save us. It cannot make us righteous. It cannot even stimulate us to be righteous. In fact, it's on the contrary, it stimulates us to sin. It's as if you tell somebody to not walk in the grass. What do you all of a sudden want to do? You want to walk in that grass. And that's how the law works for us. We see that what Paul is saying. Paul said, "I wouldn't even know what covetousness is. I didn't even think of it until I saw that I wasn't supposed to do it. Once I saw the law said, 'Do not covet,' I started coveting all kinds of stuff." And verse 3 of our text is clear. The problem is not the law. The law is good. The law is not the problem at all. The problem is the weakness of our flesh. Our sinful nature fuels our sinful ways.
There is a spiritual perversion that makes us inclined to do wrong. We have a virus in our software that makes our hardware malfunction. And therefore, we see Romans 7, verses 21 and 23. Paul says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." All of us face that reality. Paul says that the law can't save us because of the weakness of our flesh. We can never obey the law perfectly. The law is like a mirror. A mirror can show you the dirt on your face, but it cannot clean your face. In the same way, the law can show that you are sinful, but it cannot take your sin away. How does my sinful nature weaken this? The best mirror in the whole world will not help me if I have no desire to wash my face. God's law is holy, righteous, and good. But before Christ, outside of Christ, I never desired to follow God's law. The law was powerless to help me because it was weakened by my sinful nature. But the good news is the Spirit of life has set you free. Christians are not under the law, but under grace. The Spirit has set us free from the law. God has done what the law, weakened by our flesh, could not do. And so what did He do? And that brings us through to our third point, or third reason Good Friday is good. Good Friday is good because the Son was sent. Look at verse 3 again. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." So what does the Son do? He comes. He comes in our likeness. He came as a man. He was the God-man, truly God, truly man. And what did He come for? He came for sin, to condemn sin. And this phrase there is a little phrase that we see the same expression used again and again in the Old Testament to refer to a sin offering. The sacrifices in the Old Testament that atoned for sin and guilt. And so the Father, in His love, has sent the Son as a sin offering. This was the purpose of the cross. This is why Good Friday is good. You are not condemned because God condemned sin by sending His own Son in the flesh to die on the cross. Christ came to be our substitute. For sin He came. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake God has made Him, Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." He condemns sin in the flesh. Good Friday is very good. The fourth and final reason why Good Friday is good is because it brings spiritual transformation. Not just forgiveness, but transformation. He does not leave you where you were. Look at Romans 8, verse 4. Here is the purpose. In order that. It gives the reason, the purpose statement. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so we are no longer under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant law.
But the law's righteous requirement is fulfilled in us, not by our works, not by our doing the law, but actually by walking according to the Spirit. And the Bible often uses that metaphor for walking, and it simply just means going through life, doing life. How do we live? We walk. The Christian life is not a sprint, it is a marathon. The Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction. We walk. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Again, we see the two different realms here. We don't walk according to the flesh. That's the old ways, the focus on ourself, our own desires. We don't do that anymore. We don't live that way anymore. We put the old man off, the Adam, the first Adam, and we put on the new man, the last Adam, Christ Jesus. And we walk by the Spirit. We are transformed. And what does the fruit of the Spirit look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the goal. The goal of Good Friday is holiness. And see, Good Friday takes care of all of our problems. And that dark day solves our inner problem and our outer problem. We've seen the outer problem here, sin, death, condemnation. The cross solves that, but it also solves our inner problem. Because by the Spirit, we get a new heart. And we are being made new. And so when we trust in Jesus as King, He pours out His Spirit within us, and it begins this lifelong process of forming us into the image of Christ. That's what God is after. He is making us new. Good Friday is indeed very good. So, church, hear the word of the Lord once again. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has paid it all by His blood and righteousness. You have settled our sin debt, declared us righteous, given us a new standing before You, and by Your Holy Spirit, You have set us free. You have done what we cannot do ourselves. You've done what the law could not do by being weakened by the flesh. You've done it for us by sending Your Son who died on the cross and rose from the dead. That by faith in Him, Your righteous requirements might be fulfilled in us to Your glory. Help us to walk out these truths in the name of Jesus and for Your glory. Amen.